Welcome to Help and Hope, a weekly podcast from CCEF. This week we continue to listen in on a recent conversation with CCEF faculty member David Pallison. David talks about living with suffering day to day, including his own amazing story. Hear now, Help and Hope.
Let me tell a story about a friend who his wife had died of breast cancer when he was probably 50, something like that, so early. And he had gone, in the first year after her death, he went down to a Caribbean island where they had honeymooned, I believe, as a revisiting of sort of a healing of the sorrow and such. And he was struck by a wave and was became paraplegic. And so within a year, the death of his wife, and then he's put into a wheelchair. And a man of faith. And I remember, times I've talked to them over subsequent years, one of the things that is really difficult, and the way that he put it is, it just seems so selfish to have to spend so much time taking care of myself. It takes him 2 or 3 hours to get his morning routine done. It takes him 2 or 3 hours to get his evening routine done. You can do his morning routine and then he's exhausted. there would be a kind of a point of extreme suffering that brings out, how does one validate just taking so much time to look after the basics of existence? But then I think you could take a much more systematic version of the same thing. Most people through human history who have lived as peasants or as day laborers or in factories, they have worked, they have slaved almost all of their days simply to put food on the table and a roof over their head in any peasant-oriented culture. And is that, there has to be a view. See, there's simply, life is hard. There's all this work that needs to be done. The work is never ending. You barely keep your head above water financially. And I think it is part of the Christian ethic that is so human that the Bible validates all that. It's written to peasants, fishermen, people who, I think of that story where Jesus, the mothers from Nazareth are bringing their little children. These are peasant women. They're living in a subsistence culture, an impoverished village, high infant mortality, and they bring their children to Jesus that he would bless them, and he blesses them, and that meant the world to them. And there's in a Christian ethic, just the basic labor of life counts. And when I think of what I went through, it doesn't compare in intensity to what my friend Richard goes through every single day, or to what a peasant goes through in terms of just a very hard life. I was in a situation of great blessing financially. CCF was willing to pay me. CCF valued me and paid me, though they probably had 40% of a person working for them. There were just times, and I remember talking to another friend who dealt with chronic fatigue, which was one facet of what I was dealing with, and she said, one of the things that's so hard to deal with, what do you do when you're so tired, you can't do things that seem productive, and you don't even have the energy to things that seem spiritual, mm-hmm. You don't feel up for reading a good book or the Bible. Mm-hmm. Prayer is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. You can squeak out a Lord have mercy on me kind of prayer. But you can't pray in any thoughtful, consistent, systematic way. And I remember that her talking about, in a sense, a grace needed to be able to just take a nap, which is a waste of a couple hours in the middle of a day, and a waste, quote unquote. Or what do you do when you just are good for nothing? Read a magazine, or for me, do a crossword puzzle. There are times where doing a crossword puzzle is about the level of functioning I was at. And and that the pace was much more limited mm-hmm. and restricted. And that's a sense, I remember one of the metaphors that struck me with particular poignancy after I got better was that it was as though I had, and I think we mentioned that in there, it's as though I'd lived in the body of an 87-year-old mm-hmm. for 5 years. And then was given back being 57, and that's, I mean, 57 is not 27, but 57 is way better than 87. You know, when you're 87, just doing the basics of getting out of bed, getting yourself cleaned and dressed, and getting breakfast made is the morning's work. You know, or you add to that things like disability and so forth. But it's not very productive. And finding God to be faithful. Yeah. There were times, obviously, where it was frustrating, and there were times where it was very disheartening. And it was definitely a process. Well, it's frustrating, it's disheartening, and then you add in the role that sin can play, where if my sins are withdrawal from what's hard, then just sort of give up, who cares, you know, that kind of thing. And so how do you disentangle where are the places I need to push myself, because it would be sin not to, but where are the places where, if I push myself, I will pay this ferocious price that will be destructive. And that famous saying of Luther's where he says, sin boldly, I actually think that's what he's getting at. Like, live your life. It'll continue to unfold. Like, do what you're doing, and God will continue to work with you. And if you find out that, in that situation, I pushed myself socially because I wanted to do it, and then I paid this price that, for a week afterwards of just being smashed, you learn, not just on my own, because sometimes your own personal gyroscope is not tilted straight up, right? Learning to listen to my wife, learning to listen to the advice of other friends. No one hands you a prescription card is the way I mm-hmm. used to put it. And so it means that you have to fight out all those things. Like, when is it wrong to push yourself to do something? And then when is it wrong? You could have done it, but you just retreated and more indulged the retreat, you know, just curled up with a novel, and I really should have tried to do that. And you try, you fail, you try something different, you learn something, you fail again. That process of really, that is the Christian life. And that's okay, that's what it's like. It was very helpful to actually slowly learn, like, you know what? That would be really nice to do, to go out for breakfast with those people. I'd love to do it. It would be foolish to do it. Mm-hmm. And I have to teach a class the day after tomorrow. And the price I'd pay of energy expenditure there would deleteriously affect something that I do have to do in 2 days. And I need to just lie low today. To be able to have some of the mechanism to making those sort of some of those decisions. And that has helped in recent things. Mm-hmm. But there is no, like, you learned it and you don't have anything more to learn. I mean,
it's true.
I just think even over these last, I just had a serious abdominal surgery in January. Mm-hmm. So I'm about 2.5 months out on that. And there have been parts of it even over the last 10 weeks that are new. I had an experience coming out of the anesthesia and then the first night of the surgery that was one of the most distressing experiences of my entire life, because I felt like I had been detached from my identity. Mm-hmm. It was like a depersonalization experience where you're separated from your ego in the good sense of the word ego, yourself. And like even to experience, I didn't feel like myself. I felt like I was just kind of, kind of low-grade unnerving. Mm-hmm. Your brother, Paul, actually was the one, I don't know what possessed him, but I gave Paul a call and just said to pray for me. And what he did, he read 15 straight Psalms of Ascent. He'd only paused for like 2 seconds, no comment. He just read from Psalms 120 to 134 mm-hmm. straight through. It was wonderful. It was just hearing the Word of God and hearing God and hearing his promises and hearing faith in action. It's like it reconnected me to myself, to my identity, and brought me back to God. And since God, Calvin's got that great discussion in the beginning of his Institutes, how knowledge of yourself and knowledge of God correlate perfectly. Mm-hmm. If you really know God, you then know yourself, because you are an image bearer, you're in a relationship with him, you are a sinner, you're redeemed, you're his child, you're a rebel. I mean, to know God is to know yourself, and to know yourself truly is to know God. So that was a restoration.
To know God is to know yourself and to find restoration. Thanks again, David, for sharing so intimately. These free podcasts are made possible through the generous help of our listeners. To find more podcasts and to learn how you can help keep future podcasts coming, please visit www.ccef.org. As we begin to enjoy the flowers and warmth of spring, November seems like a lifetime away. But November will come, and with it, the CCEF National Conference. This conference increases in popularity every year. Don't wait too long to register. Early bird registration discounts expire June 30th, so go to www.ccef.org and register today. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week for more help and hope.